welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. I love origin stories, and rock music is full of links between the blues of original American artists, reinterpreted later into new sounds. Hey, for 10 points, see if you can identify this song.
I went to the crossroads, fell down on my knees.
Sure, that's Robert Johnson playing his acoustic slide guitar back in 1936 with a tune about a man on foot trying to get a ride. This is out in the Mississippi Delta, and he's hoping somebody will slow down at the crossroads and pick him up before the sun goes down. The song may have an element of social commentary from a time when black Americans faced sundown laws as part of grievous racial segregation. Under another interpretation, the crossroads are a place of supernatural imagery. And there's an old blues story about Robert Johnson meeting the devil at the crossroads and selling his soul for a gift of unholy talent. Fast forward to 1968, Eric Clapton and Cream. You remember this.
I went down to the crossroads, fell out on my knees.
From the slide guitar of the Delta Blues to the Clapton Power Trio with Jack Bruce and Ginger Baker 3 decades later, Rolling Stone magazine rated it number 3 in its list of greatest guitar songs of all time. Countless guitar players have tried to recapture that Clapton sound, but the original, the Robert Johnson version, is still revered by purists. Some, like our guest today, have even traveled to the famous crossroads of legend, US 49 and US 61 near Clarksdale, Mississippi, to find, if not a satanic trade for talent, perhaps a link in spirit to the original. This is Zach Day noodling around with his guitar at a restaurant in Fairmount near his home. The place had not opened yet, but the owner likes Zach, and we met to talk about what he's been up to. One thing, college. He's a senior at Ball State, majoring in music, getting ready to graduate.
Well, it's very exciting, and I can't wait to graduate. Like, it's, you know, 4 years that really go by pretty quick, but it's kind of nerve-wracking because now I have to realize that I have to make enough income to be able to support myself and to keep doing what I want to do and keep growing it as a business, you know. And so I realized I don't want a day job. That's not for me. I've already realized that. I did construction and roofing over the summer, and music's much more my thing.
How does that work? Is there a model that you see out there for somebody who?
I form a lot of connections. I meet a lot of people. I work with them closely. I try to keep in contact with them through the year, making phone calls, sending emails, and just a lot of festival and event coordinators. We go to some of the conventions and stuff like that.
And that's a lot of what you do. You go to festivals and big events.
We do a lot of festivals and fairs. We do some of the biggest festivals and fairs in the state. We've done the State Fair a handful of times. We do Marshall County Blueberry Festival, the Kiwanis Balloon Festival in Bloomington. We actually do an event here at Grains and Grill. It's jamming at the G&G, and it's during James Dean weekend. And we do it out in the parking lot, and it's just a really a big parking lot party, and it's a great time. Just a lot of events like that.
You do a lot of riding. Talk about why you do that and how that's working.
So I really enjoy riding because it takes the musical aspect, it takes the lyric aspect, and it takes the melody, and it morphs them all together to be able to convey emotions much more than I feel like I can if I'm just playing music or if I'm just, lyrics are really similar to poetry, but when you have the melody with the lyrics, with the harmony and the music, I think it captures more of the emotion, it captures more of the feeling than any of those things individually can.
Why the blues? Why not rock or hip-hop?
So I was definitely initially attracted to blues for the reason that Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, that sound, that guitar sound he had and the way he played and the emotion that he conveyed through playing, I thought was unbelievable, and I'd never heard anything like it because I'd listened to a lot of classic rock guitarists, Randy Rhoads, Peter Frampton, people like that, and I just never quite connected to the music the way I did with the blues.
What's your favorite Stevie Ray Vaughan? So you like Crossfire? You like?
I really like Texas Flood. His version of Little Wing is pretty amazing.
What's the song he does based on? Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Yeah, he does that, and Tin Pan Alley and stuff like that, just good stuff.
Is there anybody that you model your playing on? Do you find yourself, you know, being inspired by in particular?
I feel like there's a lot of different people, and I try to pull from all of them and create my own style. As far as blues guitarists go, Stevie Ray Vaughan, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Joe Bonamassa, even John Mayer Blues Trio stuff's just fantastic stuff. He's a great guitarist that really is underappreciated in the blues world. A lot of people like that. B.B. King has always been a huge influence of mine.
What's a B.B. King song that you really like?
I love How Blue Can You Get, Nobody's Home, Thrill Is Gone. Just...
Have you ever had a chance to meet any of your heroes like that?
I have. I met B.B. King when I was, oh goodness, I was in high school. I forget how old or how young I was at the time, but I went down to his club and he did his show, and I was up there and I had a Fender pickguard, and he's always played Gibson. And when I went to have him sign it, I shook his hand, I was talking to him. He said, "I can't sign this. I've always played Gibson." And I think he felt bad for me, and the people behind me in line were like, "Oh, come on, BB, oh, come on." And so he eventually gave in and was like, "Okay, but you don't tell any of your friends about this." And here I am, you know, telling everybody about it.
You, at a pretty young age, you did that. Talk about the time you went down to the crossroads.
So yeah, the time my dad and I went down to the crossroads was still like one of the most life-changing and musical-changing experiences I've had to this day. Yeah, so Clarksdale, Mississippi, we went down there, and it's really where the blues originated at. Robert Johnson was from the area. A lot of the great bluesmen were from that area or in towns surrounding in Cahoma County. And it's where it all started. It's where the sound that we hear in blues now or rock now was originated in the 30s. So we went down, I think we were on a business trip, and on the way back through, we were going to swing by and go to 4961 there at the crossroads where Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil. And so we went to Morgan Freeman's Blues Club that night called Ground Zero. And I got up and I played, and I was going to play one or two songs with Josh Razorblade Stewart was his name, and he's a local down there. And the third set rolled around and I went up to play one song, and I stayed up there for about an hour, 40 minutes, an hour, and I had a guitar duel with a guy named Terry Big T Williams, which is just, oh, this massive man who plays down there, and he's been playing down there for years, and he's just a big guy, and we got face to face and we were playing off, and it was a great time, you know. And then afterwards, it was about 2 o'clock by the time we got done, and Clarksdale is really a pretty rough area overall, a lot of high crime rate, and so I did decide I wanted to go out and play under the crossroads, you know. And so I went out there and I was playing my guitar. And so the legend goes that you go and you play and the devil comes and he wants you to sell your soul to him for fame and fortune. And so I'm out there playing at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and a car pulls up and it just sits there. And me being young, I was scared to death, you know. And I just kept playing. And eventually I got up and I walked back across the street to where we were parked at, and the car pulled away. And I was like, I didn't look in the car, but it makes it a good story, you know. It's a more interesting story since I didn't look in to see what it was, you know.
That's blues guitarist Zach Day. We're talking with him today about his own transition, his own music, and the history of our music.
Every day.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
A little different show today, the story of a college student, Zach Day, about to graduate this spring. He plays music in a band, like so many other young people we've met. It helps that he's very talented. That is Zach warming up for us at a restaurant in Fairmount near his home called The Grains and Grill. Zach plays there from time to time. Joni Howard is the owner.
Zach is local. He's a year younger than my youngest son, so that's how I met him. Probably have known him maybe 6 years. He's played here at our restaurant probably 5 or 6 times. He's just a very genuine, humble, nice kid. He is somebody who is going to go somewhere, I believe. And hoping that he'll come back here and play once he does.
Tell me about his talents.
My husband and I both sing for fun, so we do know music. His mother was my music teacher in grade school, as well as a lot of other people here in town. But we do like music and like all kinds of music. And Zach plays a lot of jazz, rock, that type of thing.
Tell me about his talent for someone who's just coming to know him.
Zach, as far as I know, started kind of late in his young life, junior high or early high school playing. He plays the guitar. He's just outstanding. Yeah. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but he knows how to captivate the crowd, and he knows how to come out and interact with the crowd when he's playing, and he's just a lot of fun to watch.
What is he like as a person?
He's, like I said, he's very humble, he's somewhat quiet, just genuinely nice. He's a nice, nice guy.
Talk about the festival and the fact that he plays for you and the significance of that.
Fairmount is a small town of about 2,500 people. Our most famous people have been James Dean and Jim Davis of Garfield. So there's a draw to come back to Fairmount. And every year in September, the last full weekend of the month, we have a festival. We draw in tens of thousands of people. And Zach comes here and plays for us on Saturday night. We close our restaurant and have a parking lot party. And we had about 1,500 people last year, which was only our second year. But it was just a lot of fun. And it's nice to have someone local to bring local people in and the people that travel to come to the festival. But it's been nice to have local people, and it kind of has been a gathering of class reunions of sort. A lot of people come, and people that you haven't seen recently. So it's a lot of fun.
What do you hear about Zach and the people appreciating what he does?
Well, I think they're just a little bit amazed that someone so young has the talent that he has. And he's played with a lot of really big names, and just amazed at his talent and didn't really know about it until the last couple years. And I've not been aware of it until the last probably 4 years.
They don't live like in town, right? But
he went to school at Madison Grant. Madison Grant and Summitville and Fairmount. Madison Grant's made up of Fairmount and Summitville. So yeah, he is one of ours. It just makes it much more fun when it's someone that you know, someone that's local, someone that others are excited to see play. And so that's why we like to have him come in addition to his talent, but it's just nice to bring someone local in.
Is it unusual for somebody that age to be that good?
Oh, I believe so, yeah. Yeah, he is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's got talent beyond his years.
Joni Howard, owner of the Grains and Grill restaurant in Fairmount. The town is the home of James Dean and the site of an annual festival drawing tens of thousands of people each September. Joni's talking about another talent from that area, Zach Day, a young blues guitarist who's performed all over the place. Now he's about to graduate from Ball State in a few months and putting together a business plan to play festivals, fairs, and special events around the Midwest. We met a lot of young musicians who dream of making a living with their instruments. Talking today with one who in May will get a diploma and a chance to prove he's right.
If you can wade in through the teardrop, you'll find me at the home of the blues. Yeah, you're gonna find me at the home of...
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
You know, I've been in Mississippi and heard what I took to be Delta blues, and it's a distinctive American sound, right?
So yeah, we're talking about the original country Delta blues. Very raw, very 12-bar blues in your face, just kind of a more raw emotion sound than what we hear in blues today.
And some of that has transferred into the pop music that everybody knows. So Eric Clapton.
Yeah, Eric Clapton redid Crossroads, and so many songs like that. Bob Seger did a lot of blues. Molly Hatchet, ZZ Top, any classic rock person, you name them, and they embraced blues, and it really made them who they were.
Now, I don't know how many lyrics there are that go along the lines of, you got to pay your dues if you want to sing the blues. I think that's Ringo, right?
I've heard that a lifetime full of times. You know, you're going to have to work really hard if you want to make it in this business, and you're going to have to do a lot of things you don't want to do, and you're going to have to do some gigs that you don't want to do, but they're going to make you who you are, and it's going to progress your career.
Have you had to do that?
Oh, yeah. A lot of dues paying, a lot of gigs where I left, and I felt like I'd been taken advantage of and been had the screws put to me and all kinds of stuff. But there's still aspects of that, but I feel better now. You know, I have it more set up like a business, to where I'm trying to treat it more as a businessman with their business. And
what was it like being 15 years old in the home of the blues? They accepted you, though, because you spoke the language of that music.
They accepted me hesitantly, and I think they were still kind of concerned until we got into the music. Because, you know, I get up there, and I'm 15, 16 years old, and I'd never been in the South. And we got up there, and before I know it, everyone has their cameras out, and they're videoing me and taking pictures. And we actually met someone down there, her and her mom, and they're from Marion. And so now they follow us. They come and hear us here, and they come and hear us in Slippery Noodle when we play there in Indianapolis. And it's great to build a connection hundreds and hundreds of miles away that is still intact today.
Now, there's this kind of popular image of the blues man as worn down.
It's pretty true. I mean, like, in Mississippi, you have a lot of, like, what you think of as a cliche, like, an older, worn out, just they've played the blues their whole life, and that's what they've done as a living. It's not an easy living.
So we would say that, you know, some of the blues comes out of that hard life, hard scrabble experience. As a songwriter, growing up comfortable in middle America, how do you recreate that?
So I think it's all about what aspect and what angle you want to take for the blues. Because, I mean, obviously there were a lot of race relations and there were a lot of things like that that contributed to what blues was in the 50s or the 60s or the 40s even. But now I think the blues is a lot deeper. I think there's a lot more to the blues than what some people might believe. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through situations in life that are not great or not good. And I think pulling from inspirations like that, pulling from relationships, pulling from things like that are beneficial.
Some songwriters, they're seeing stories in the headlines, or they're going, you know, finding things to write about. Remember, George Jones used to say, every relationship, he wrote three love songs on the way up and three disappointment, heartbreak songs on the way down. Where's your stuff coming from?
A lot of it's personal things that I write about. I think all musicians have this self-doubt thing that there's a chance that the music's not going to get heard by people, and there's a chance that it's not going to be any more than what it is. And so I write about that a lot, like just the mindset of musicians and the way that we sometimes suppress ourselves to what we could be. Relationships, past relationships, I mean, that's it might be good for three songs on the way up and 30 on the way down.
He says one of his favorite songs is The Traveler, done on a slide guitar with a deep Southern influence. What's going to happen next? Here you are walking across the stage wearing a long black gown. What happens the next day?
So I've been working really hard this year on booking, you know, and it looks like I'm going to be able to make a full income next year of just playing music, which is great. I want to offer a lot of different things. So because a lot of playing music is on the weekends or on evenings, so I'd love to offer packages to schools to where I could come in and do clinics for their jazz bands and stuff on improvising and how to develop students as being better improvisers. Private lessons. I plan on teaching privately just because I think it's important to continue to harvest blues as a art form.
You're a blues man, but you're a jazz major.
Yes, that was definitely a strange thing to try to find the differences between, because some people in jazz definitely love the blues, and others think it should probably just, there should be a little less of it than more of it. But I've tried to morph the two genres together and the two styles together as well as I can, to try to not lose my voice as blues, but try to be able to use it in jazz. And I think it's coming along pretty well. I mean, jazz is always, it's a lifelong journey in and of itself.
His favorite song, called We'll Stay, reflects that softer, non-blues feel. The way that many people encountered the blues was in blues clubs. And, well, you know, they're kind of in decline, or they're kind of hurting. Have you seen that? Talk about that.
Blues clubs in general are definitely in decline, and the shame of the matter is that most blues clubs are not even playing all blues anymore. They're switching to a lot of different rock and some classic rock and some dance, like jam bands. There are only a handful of authentic blues clubs in this part of this country. We play at Buddy Guy's Legends in Chicago, which is just an amazing club. They treat their musicians really well. And in Chicago, there are a lot of different, Kingston Mimes is one of the ones that comes to mind. There are a lot of different blues clubs because that was really a staple in blues. But Indianapolis has the Slippery Noodle. Louisville, Kentucky has Stevie Ray's Blues Club. And we've played there before, and we played the Slippery Noodle. But there really aren't a whole lot of different blues clubs around in the area anymore. So you can't make a living playing blues clubs like you may have been able to in the past. I think it's geared a lot more towards festivals and events and fairs and blues festivals and things like that.
What would a breakthrough moment look like? You're daydreaming, go, boy, it would sure be nice. What's that? Playing on one of the late night shows?
The dream could go many ways. The way I'm really trying to approach it is building it as a business, where this year I might do five things in Michigan, five things in Ohio, five things in Illinois, and five things in Kentucky, and continue to expand it and get it to where what is a regional thing now could be a national thing or an international thing with Europe tours and stuff in the future. I know a lot of musicians talk about the big, like, discovery moment, and it's always a possibility, but I don't want to ever bank on that at all, because there's a lot of luck in that.
Zach Day, like so many thousands of other college students about to graduate this spring, preparing for a life after school. We joke about our students having to finally go out and face the real world. The truth is, we know so many who are working hard, putting back money to stay in school. Some have started businesses. This is one of them, a young guy with a passion and a dream, and it appears a pretty solid business plan to earn a living with his passion. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.